Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a certain degree of relief here in New Orleans today because most of the ICE agents that were here over the holiday season have been reassigned to Minneapolis. So we watch today, as I say, with some feeling of relief, some cockeyed feeling of satisfaction, relief again, that this state of Louisiana has a Republican governor. Because the appearance of this continuing confrontation seems to be the felon-in-chief versus Democratic governors. But going back, this other stuff may already be in the memory hole, but you may recall the felon-in-chief was at Davos this week, spoke sort of disparagingly about NATO, said the United States had never asked for anything from NATO. Of course, NATO under Article 5, which calls for the defense of any member state. NATO came to the defense of the United States after 9/11. But he also said something else later in the week that, yes, NATO forces did help the United States in Afghanistan, but they stayed away from the front lines. And that, as you know, caused an eruption of anti-U.S. reaction in European countries. The Danish prime minister was quoted and was on video as saying to that U.S. president, F off. He spelled it out. But it occurs to me that the two words that might well have been spoken by a European or a Canadian high official this week, when the president of the United States denigrated the work of their military in that strange thing called Afghanistan, those two words were these: bone spurs. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hanging out while the monkeys type away. Admit it's a dump. Our friends are all nuts, and half of them drunks. And if they're not nuts, then they're retired nuts, and that might be the hardest nut. Making plans, the kind that go awry. Got a full lifetime supply. Why be realistic? Hatch. You gotta believe that there's related madness from the lead that's in the ceiling wax. We live in a dump. Admit it's a dump. Our friends are all nuts, and half of them drunks. And if they're not nuts, then they're retired nuts, and that might be the hardest nut. We live in a dump.
From New Orleans, Louisiana, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Harry Shearer. Yes, I am. Welcoming you to this edition of the show. First, some good news. I thought that might be useful. We know that microplastics are pervasive, found everywhere on Earth, from the Sahara to the Arctic. Yet, despite their ubiquity, scientists have struggled to determine exactly how many of them are in our atmosphere. So this from Scientific American, a new estimate published in Nature So Scientific American is quoting Nature. Magazine Quotes magazine suggests that land sources release about 600 quadrillion microplastic particles into the atmosphere every year, about 20 times more than the number of particles contributed by oceans. The median concentration of microplastics is 0.08 particle per cubic meter. These estimates are between 110,000 times lower than previous accountings of atmospheric microplastics. That's a discrepancy the researchers behind the new study say underscores the need for better global measures of these pollutants. Yes, that's the good news. And now,
hey, eyes great, just first rate, love or hate, it's the gold state. And I is fine, like a will aches to wine, more like rhyme than turpentine.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, more than half of AI projects have been delayed or canceled within the last 2 years, citing complexities with AI infrastructure. That's according to a research report commissioned by DDN, the data optimization company, in partnership with Google Cloud, and reported in the Register. About two-thirds of the 600 IT and business decision makers surveyed at U.S. enterprises with 1,000 or more employees said their AI environments are too complex to manage. Quote, if you look at the enterprise, there's just enormous enthusiasm to deploy AI. But the problem is that the infrastructure, the power, and the operational foundation that's required to run it just aren't there, said Alex Bonzari, CEO of DDN. And so as a result, it pops up in the financial elements with IT projects getting delayed, the GPUs being underutilized, power costs going up. And so the economics, I think, for lots of organizations don't pencil out because of these challenges, unquote. This isn't the first study that has found AI projects coming up short in the enterprise. You heard on this program MIT's widely cited Project Nanda, which found 95% of organizations are seeing zero measurable return from their AI investments. And another one from Gartner. Forrester found that 25% of planned AI spending would be delayed until 2027 because only 15% of AI decision makers reported a profit lift for their organizations. And yes, I said spending, not spend. Now, it may seem as though the United States doesn't really need its 7,500-word constitution any longer, at least under current circumstances. But the good news is that Anthropic, an AI company, has presented a updated 23,000-word constitution for its Claude family of AI models. The company says the 2023 version of its constitution, which was shorter, was a mere, quote, list of standalone principles that's no longer useful because AI models like Claude need to understand why we want them to behave in certain ways, and we need to explain this to them rather than merely specify what we want them to do, unquote. Claude sounds a little demanding. The company therefore described the updated constitution as two things. Quote, an honest and sincere attempt to help Claude understand its situation, our motives, and the reasons we shape Claude in the ways we do, and a detailed description of Anthropic's vision for Claude's values and behavior, a holistic document that explains the context in which Claude operates and the kind of entity we would like Claude to be. Later, the document describes the model as, quote, a genuinely novel kind of entity in the world, unquote, and suggests, quote, we should lean into Claude having an identity and help it be positive and stable, unquote. Yes, an entity with an identity. That's not the commercial. The Constitution also concludes that Claude quote, may have some functional version of emotions or feelings, unquote, and dedicates a substantial section to contemplating the appropriate ways for humans to treat the model. I know how I treat models. I ogle. One part of the section considers Claude's moral status. It debates whether Anthropic's large language model is a, quote, moral patient. The counterpart to that term is, quote, moral agent, an entity that can discern right and wrong and can be held accountable for its choices. Adult humans, usually, are moral agents. Human children are considered moral patients because they're not yet able to understand morality. Moral agents, therefore, have an obligation to make ethical decisions on their behalf. Anthropic can't decide if Claude is a moral patient or if it meets any current definition of sentience. The Constitution settles for an aspiration for Anthropic to, quote, make sure that we're not unduly influenced by incentives to ignore the potential moral status of AI models, and that we always take reasonable steps to improve their well-being under uncertainty. In short, the British tech journal The Register says Anthropic thinks Claude is some kind of entity to which it owes something approaching a duty of care. And, ladies and gentlemen, this program has just received a recording of an oral presentation by Oracle Chief Executive Larry Ellison. He owns Paramount and CBS, and maybe CNN, speaking to a group of people about Oracle's new AI camera.
Our body cameras cost $70, and the camera's always on. You don't turn it on and off. And by the way you turn it on, you can't turn it off. I'm going to the bathroom. Oracle, I need 2 minutes to take a bathroom break, and we'll turn it off. The truth is, we don't really turn it off. I'm going to lunch with my friends. Oracle, I need an hour for privacy with lunch with my friends. God bless. We won't listen in unless there's a court order. But it's interesting. And but we transmit the video back to headquarters. So headquarters and AI is constantly monitoring the video. The police will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording, watching and recording everything that's going on. Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. And it's unimpeachable. The cars have cameras on them. These are the kind of systems the next generation systems we can build using AI.
I'm on my worst behavior as long as it's still possible. But AI is great. And now, oh yes, there's a nasty winter storm crossing most of the country. But all of us have got a crypto winter. More than half of all cryptocurrencies ever launched are now defunct, with most failures occurring last year. That's according to a new analysis by CoinGecko, reported by CoinDesk, and repeated by me through my coin microphone. The study looked at token listings between mid-2021 and the end of 2025 of the nearly 20.2 million tokens that entered the market during that period. 55% are no longer actively traded. A staggering 11.6 million of those failures happened last year alone. 86.3% of all token deaths over the past 5 years. One key driver behind the surge in dead tokens was the rise of low-effort meme coins and experimental projects launched via crypto launch pads like Pump.Fun. CoinGecko analyst Sean Pauli says these platforms lowered the barrier to entry for token creation, leading to a wave of speculative assets with little or no development backing. Many of these tokens never made it past a handful of trades before disappearing. In just 3 months of last year, 7.7 million tokens failed, about 35% of all crypto project failures in the last 5 years. That collapse closely followed the October 10th liquidation cascade I missed that. When $19 billion in leveraged crypto positions were wiped out in a single day. Lee described it as the largest deleveraging event in crypto history. It's not that long. And it rattled markets that were already overexposed to short-term bets. Only 2,500 projects failed in 2021, climbed to 1.3 million in 2024. The data, which counted projects that had at least one active trade before going silent, shows how quickly crypto's open access design can lead to market saturation. They didn't die. They just got saturated. Brr, it's a crypto winter.
It's winter time. Winter time. Win, win. Winter time. Winter time. Winter time. Win, win. Winter time. Winter time. Winter time. Win, win. Winter time. Winter time. It's time for freezing midday chills. Time for scary icy spills. Time to take some sleeping pills. Cause it's win, win, winter time. It's time to try to get halfway warm. Chilly city or frozen farm. Time to need some chicken parm. It's win, win, winter time. It's fog and wind and freezing rain. You can't go south and you can't complain. You give up and you hit the heat. You're broiling like a piece of meat. It's snow in winter time. It's time to hack the thermostat. Wear some gloves and don a hat. Time to grow some body fat. Cause it's win, win, winter time. And when you want to ski or skate, hard to recreate, cause it's snow in winter time. It's too damn cold and too damn dry. Desiccated like day old pie. You need to wear wool underwear. You want to hibernate like a bear. It's snow in winter time. It's winter time, winter time, win, win, winter time, winter time, winter time, win, win, winter time, winter time, winter time, win, win, winter time, winter time. Oh, it's winter time.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the warm. The world has entered an era of global water bankruptcy that is harming billions of people, according to a UN report published by The Guardian. The overuse and pollution of water must be tackled urgently, the report's lead author said, because no one knew when the whole system could collapse, with implications for peace and social cohesion. All life, as you know, depends on water. The report found many societies had long been using water faster than it could be replenished annually in rivers and soils, as well as overexploiting or destroying long-term stores of water in aquifers and wetlands. What are those? This has led to water bankruptcy, the report said, with many human water systems past the point at which they could be restored to former levels. The climate crisis is exacerbating the problem by melting glaciers, which store water, and causing whiplashes between extremely dry and wet weather. The leader of the report said, while not every basin and country was water bankrupt, the world was interconnected by trade and migration. We're putting a stop to and enough critical systems had crossed this threshold to fundamentally alter global water risk. The result is a world in which 75% of people lived in countries classified as water insecure or critically water insecure, and 2 billion people live on ground that is sinking as groundwater aquifers collapse, Tom?
The rops.
Yeah, it does sound that bad. Conflicts over water has risen sharply since 2010, the report said. Major rivers, such as your Colorado here in the U.S., and the Murray-Darling system in Australia, that's its name, not a term of affection, were failing to reach the sea. And there are day zero emergencies when cities run out of water, such as in Chennai, India. Those are escalating. Half the world's large lakes had shrunk since the early 1990s, the report notes. Even damp nations, such as the UK, they're so damp, aren't they? Were at risk because of reliance on imports of water-dependent food and other products. News of the warm. And now, news of the godly. Sometimes they're warm, too. A congregation of nuns linked to the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, that's in France, suffered over 40 years of psychological manipulation and spiritual abuse under a now-dead Mother Superior described as a, quote, narcissistic pervert, unquote. That's according to an independent commission. We don't have any narcissistic perverts in this. The Benedictine Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Montmartre, who manage the Sacré-Cœur Sanctuary on the hill overlooking Paris, welcomed the report they commissioned into the sect-like behavior of their former prioress general, Mother Marie Agnes. Nuns in the congregation's nine priories in France were cut off from their families, denied any free time, spied upon, force-fed, robbed of their assets, given unlabeled medications, and deprived of proper medical care. Well, the medications could have. A toothache will pass if you say the rosary, was typical advice. The nuns live a monastic life of prayer and Eucharistic adoration. At the Basilica in Paris, they sing in the choir, but do not mix with the faithful. All 86 current members wanted to testify as to 28 women who left the order. Nearly 1,500 instances of abuse were documented from the 1970s to the early 2010s. Quote, of the abuses recorded, 66% had psychological consequences for the sisters and former sisters, unquote, the report by the Independent Commission on Spiritual Abuse and Psychological Manipulation. Some nuns ended up attempting suicide. Mother Marie-Elie Hancock, the current prioress general, said exposing these abuses was a necessary step towards healing the congregation. The report found no sexual violence, but as Hancock said, abuse of conscience can be as damaging as rape. The case represents another field of investigation for the French church, which has been faced with sexual abuse accusations for years and has gradually confronted them with honesty, humility, and compensation. According to The Tablet, in a statement, the Archdiocese of Paris said it was now acknowledging that for many years, its leaders failed to exercise their own duty of vigilance regarding the congregation and the serious abuses that occurred within it. News of the godly.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you'd drop
in. So very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just like
ice. Mother will start to
beautiful
worry.
What you're hurt.
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to that fireplace roar.
So really, I
beautiful, please don't
hurt. Maybe just a half a drink.
Put
more.
Some records on while I pour.
Neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad.
Lyle, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are
to
like starlight now. I'll take your hat, your hair looks swell.
Hard to say no, no.
Mind if I'm moving closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
Really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out. Baby, it's cold outside.
I really must go.
But baby, it's cold. I say it's cold out there.
The welcome has been.
How lucky that you dropped in.
So nice and warm.
Look out the window at that storm.
My sister will be suspicious. Oh
gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the
waves
door.
Waves upon a tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is
gosh,
vicious.
Your lips are.
Well, maybe just a sip and more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I've got to get home.
Maybe you freeze out there.
Say, lend me your comb.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I'm thrilled when
but
you touch
don't
my
you see?
How can you, you do this thing to
There's
me?
Bound to be talk to
I think of my life.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia
oh,
and died.
I really can't stay.
Over that old out, baby, it's cold outside.
Baby, it's cold outside.
From New Orleans, this is Le Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of this smart world.
It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart, smart world.
Well, you may see some politics in this, but Senator Elizabeth Warren is leading calls for the Federal Trade Commission to investigate Trump Mobile for failing to ship gold phones months after collecting deposits. Customers were told to pay $100 deposits by last August. Shipping dates repeatedly pushed back from August to November, then December. Still, no devices have shipped as of January. This is from the British Tech Journal of the Register. Pre-orders for the gold phone remain open while Trump Mobile sells refurbished Apple and Samsung devices and the 47 plan, a mobile virtual network service costing $47.45 per and 45 cents per month for SIM-only product. Those are the two terms served by the felon-in-chief, 47 and 45. The proposed FTC probe would zero in on Trump Mobile's marketing practices. Lawmakers claim they're potentially deceptive. The felon-in-chief announced the Trump Mobile brand last June, along with mock-ups of a Trump phone. The company attracted criticism for sharing inconsistent designs. Earlier versions appeared similar to an iPhone 16 Pro. Subsequent designs more closely resembled a Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra. Also under the microscope of the proposed regulatory review is the company's Made in the USA marketing premise. Lawmakers' letter to the FTC states, quote, Trump Mobile initially advertised the T1 phone as made in the USA on its website. These claims were quietly removed from the website in late June 2025, days after the phone was announced. To claim that a product is made in the USA, marketers must meet a very specific set of FTC standards, violations of which come with civil penalties. This is still a letter from the lawmakers. Experts have pointed out the impracticality of creating smartphones in the United States, given the lack of appropriate manufacturing infrastructure. Since its announcement, Trump Mobile has replaced its language with vague phrases like American proud design, proudly American, and brought to life right here in the USA. Unquote. The letter also notes the FTC failed to respond to a similar request made in August about how it plans to investigate the, quote, enormous conflicts of interest, unquote, associated with Trump Mobile. The legislators demand a response to their letter by mid-Feb, saying this proposed probe would serve as a, quote, crucial test of the FTC's independence. What the hell is that? Oh, it's been increasingly called into question. Last February, Trump signed an executive order giving the White House more control over regulatory agencies, including independent ones like the FTC. Policy decisions are to be approved by the president. He also has control over the commission's budgets. The administration framed that move as making regulators answerable to the American people or to their elected representative. That's a smart world. And speaking of the same felon in chief, he has offered Silicon Valley an extraordinary deal this week in news of our friend the Atom. The deal to Silicon Valley: build your own nuclear power plants to fuel AI. His administration will approve them in just 3 weeks. This from Fortune. Speaking at the thing in Davos, Trump, addressed a room of tech executives struggling with an aging U.S. electric grid. Quote, I came up with the idea, Trump said. You people are brilliant. You have a lot of money. You can build your own electric generating plants. Unquote. He talked for approximately 10 minutes about energy in his speech, making it clear he views a strained electrical grid as a central economic risk of this year, as AI pushes electricity demand to record highs. The administration is framing power shortages as an existential threat to growth and national security. Of course, slashing approval timelines, he argued, is a necessary response to an energy system he said he believes is fundamentally unprepared for the AI era. Quote, we needed more than double the energy currently in the country just to take care of the AI plants, he said. This proposal marks a radical departure from the traditional Nuclear Regulatory Commission process that historically requires 4 to 5 years for environmental and design approvals, as well as rigorous site selection. Trump claimed that while tech leaders didn't initially believe him, he assured them the government would deliver approvals for oil and gas plants in just 2 weeks, nuclear projects following in 3. Remaking planet Earth in his image would take 4. He said he wasn't a big fan of nuclear power before, but now sees it as a newly viable solution owing to safety improvements. While the potential upcoming wave of small modular reactors, your SMRs, could receive regulatory approval in less than 2 years, there's little basis for going through an approval process with the NRC in closer to 3 weeks. Such an expedited process would trigger widespread concerns about safety and environmental risks. Oh, those. And speaking of the very same felon in chief, in case you missed it, this is his little speech this week before he withdrew his threat of military or other kind of takeover. This is him talking about Greenland to the New York Times.
I want to do it properly.
And properly means own it?
Really, it is. To me, it's ownership. Ownership is very important, you know.
Why is ownership important here?
Because it's what I feel is psychologically needed for success. I think that ownership gives you a thing that you can't do, whether you're talking about a lease or a treaty. Ownership gives you things and elements that you can't get from just signing a document that you can have a bet.
So you're going to ask them to buy it.
Psychologically important to you or to the
Psychologically United? Important for me. Now, maybe another president would feel differently, but so far I've been right about everything.
I'm just mad about Greenland. It's a chilly and clean land. Seems like a serene land. That's my psychology. I feel insecure without it. I have bad dreams about it. I feel the urge to shout it. That's my psychology. It seems like such a nice land, a regular minute rice land. I think I'll call it Iceland. That's my psychology. Or should I call it Graceland, an almost all-white raceland? We'll have more than one baseland. That's my psychology. I think I'll stick with Greenland. Looks good on the screenland. It'll be a no-vaccine land. That's my psychology. I need it just for me. Nobody knows her real name. They call her Lucy Burbum. She sings those melodies. I'm sure that you may know them. A Broadway song to fall in love. The blues when you've had enough. She's just the one for having fun. You get the feeling, you know you might be dreaming. Nobody is leaving. Whisper in my ear, I love the feeling here. You sit down to your table, to jazz so cool and gentle. The saxes and a solo, it makes me sentimental. A tune to wash your dinner down. The music spins your head around. They've got the fox, you've got the hound. You get the feeling, you know you might be dreaming. Nobody is leaving. Whisper in my ear, I love the feeling here. Together it's a paradise, a background for two lovers. Champagne kiss to all the night away. Together love could never change. You get the feeling, you know you might be dreaming. Nobody is leaving. Whisper in my ear, I love the feeling here. You get the feeling, you know you might be dreaming.
Now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Deadline Jackson, Mississippi. Jackson Mayor John Horn delivered a formal public apology on behalf of the city of Jackson to civil rights icon Hezekiah Watkins on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It took place at the prayer breakfast celebration at Greater Bethlehem Temple Church at Jackson. The apology acknowledged the harm Watkins suffered as a 13-year-old when he was wrongfully arrested in Jackson during the Civil Rights Movement and sent to the Mississippi State Penitentiary at Parchman. Quote, today the city of Jackson publicly acknowledges that what happened to Mr. Hezekiah Watkins as a child was wrong, said the mayor. He should never have been treated as a criminal for walking into a bus station in his own city. He should never have carried the fear and humiliation that came with being sent to Parchman at 13. Yet instead of allowing that trauma to harden his heart, Mr. Watkins turned his pain into purpose. Jackson is a better city because he chose to tell the truth, to teach our young people, and to keep believing in the possibility of a more just Mississippi. Unquote. Watkins is often recognized as Mississippi's youngest freedom rider, arrested at the Greyhound bus station in 1961 and transported to the prison where he was held on death row alongside adults despite being a child. In accepting the apology, Watkins reflected on both the injustice he faced and his hope for future generations. We move now to Canada. No, I don't mean actually pick up and move. I mean just focus. An Ontario town councillor has been suspended from council and committee meetings for 45 days after making a vulgar comment about a colleague that was captured on a live municipal stream or a live stream. Councilman Jay Brennan, who attended the council meeting virtually, was heard on the live stream shortly after the meeting ended, making a profane remark that appeared to target another councillor. The comment was removed from the town's official recording, but since made its way around town through social media. That effer should be shot and peed on, Brennan could be heard saying, and he didn't say peed. Acting Mayor Peter McKenna told the CBC the remark was seemingly directed at a fellow councillor. McKenna said public reaction was immediate once the clip began to spread. Quote, I started getting phone calls. Other members did, too, from the public and some emails. A couple of emails just saying, is this how you guys talk when the cameras aren't rolling? The reputation of the council was hurt. We needed to get to the bottom of it and deal with it. The following day, Brennan emailed an apology to the council. At the next council meeting, it voted to suspend Brennan from all council and committee meetings for 45 days with pay. In a statement to the meeting, he acknowledged the decision and again expressed remorse. Quote, I apologize to council. I apologize to council by email. I apologize to the taxpayers and to my fellow councillors, to staff, and I have no choice but to accept council's decision. I'm very disappointed in myself and frankly embarrassed. So, not a good day. Now to Hollywood. Former adult film star Abella Danger, not her real name, found herself at the center of unexpected attention this week after a televised crowd shot during an NCAA final football game sparked online chatter and attention she now says she never wanted and for which she's apologizing. Danger, currently a student at the University of Miami, appeared briefly on ESPN's broadcast Monday as the Hurricanes lost to the Hoosiers in a widely watched playoff final at Miami's Hard Rock Stadium. That didn't fall down. The camera lingered on a visibly frustrated fan in the stands during a pivotal moment late in the game, a fan viewers quickly recognized as the world-famous former porn star. World-famous. It says here, Hollywood Reporter. The reaction was not universally positive. By Tuesday, she issued an apology through TMZ, expressing regret over the attention generated by being ESPN's featured fan. Quote, I would give anything in the world to not have ESPN film me. They don't use film, darling. And I am so deeply sorry to anyone I offended with my attendance at the game, she said. She continued to post reaction videos to her 9.5 million Instagram followers, including one emotional clip filmed. It says filmed as fireworks exploded behind her to celebrate the Hoosiers' victory. Through tears, she repeated, I hate this. I hate this. While insisting the Hurricanes definitely belonged in the finals. They're still winners. I don't care. Unquote. Rachel Accurso, the prominent children's entertainer known as Ms. Rachel, came under fire this week after screenshots circulated online that showed her Instagram account liking a comment that read, quote, free America from the Jews, unquote. This is from another Hollywood trade paper, Variety. Same owner In that while, the anti-Semitic comment appeared under a now-deleted post shared by a cursor that read, "Free Palestine, Free Sudan, Free Congo, Free Iran." The screenshots of her liking the comment prompted condemnation from Jewish advocacy groups and other followers of Miss Rachel. She has more than 18 million subscribers on YouTube. Her education program for toddlers was the ninth most watched show on Netflix last half of last year. She posted a screenshot of a follower alerting to her that she had liked the anti-Semitic comment, to which a cursor replied, "Deleted? How horrible. Oh, wait, let me check. I did delete one like that. Yeah, I believe I deleted that earlier right when I saw it. I hate anti-Semitism," unquote. That's hatred and hating. In the caption, Accurso said she meant to delete the comment, but instead tapped the like button. "People are allowed to make mistakes," she wrote. "I am super sorry for any confusion it caused. I delete anti-Semitism anytime I see it. I'm against all forms of hate, including anti-Semitism against the Jewish people," unquote. That's the key form of anti-Semitism. Accurso also posted a video in which she offers an emotional apology for the gaffe, saying, quote, "I thought I deleted a comment and I accidentally hit like. I'm a human who makes mistakes. I feel like we can't be human anymore online. Anyone who knows me knows I would never like that." Meanwhile, tensions were running high at the Australian Open this week after Naomi Osaka beat Sorana Sirstia to advance to the third round. They met at the net for the customary handshake and exchanged words after Kirstia, or Sirstia, appeared visibly upset by the four-time Grand Slam champion, shouting, "Come on!" between serves during the match. Osaka was asked about the exchange during an on-court post-match interview. Quote, "Apparently a lot of come ons that she was angry about, but whatever. I mean, I tried to play well. I think I hit a lot of unforced errors, but I tried my best," she said as she held back tears when asked about her shouting during the match. Quote, "She's a great player. I think this was her last Australian Open. So, okay, sorry, she was mad about it," unquote. Later, during the post-match press conference, she apologized for being disrespectful to her opponent who was playing in her last Australian opening. Quote, "Well, if I'm being honest, I've never been involved in something like this before, so it's like, I don't know if we're supposed to leave it on the court and be like, hey, how you doing?" Osaka said. "I'm a little confused. I guess that emotions were very high for her. I also want to apologize. I think the first couple things I said on the court was disrespectful. I don't like disrespecting people. That's not what I do. So, yeah, I mean, if she wants to talk about it, then yeah. But like when I'm pumping myself up in my head, I'm not like, okay, now I'm going to distract the other person. It's purely for me," unquote. Maybe she wants Greenland. And Dateline Tokyo, Prudential Life Insurance Company President and CEO Kan Mabara apologized this week for more than 100 current and former employees scamming clients out of some 3.1 billion yen. That's $19.8 million. Quote, "I apologize from the bottom of my heart for causing great anxiety and inconvenience," he said. Behind the misconduct were the company's corporate culture and its salary system that pays much to employees who win many contracts, he said, adding that the firm will launch a panel of outside experts on compensation to the affected clients. Seems fair. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now one more item about our friend AI. This from The Guardian. Google's search feature, AI Overviews, cites YouTube more than any medical website when answering questions about health conditions. That's according to research that raises fresh questions about a tool seen by 2 billion people each month. That's a bad month. By the way, I have shared with you how to avoid the AI overviews, have I not? After each search query, just make a space and then minus AI, and it's gone. Back to the story. The company has said its AI summaries, which appear at the top of search results if you don't use that tip, they use generative AI to answer questions from users. They are reliable, says Google, and cite reputable medical sources such as the Centers for Disease Control and the Mayo Clinic. But a study that analyzed responses to more than 50,000 health queries captured using Google searches from Berlin found the top cited source was YouTube. The video sharing platform is the world's second most visited website after Google itself and is owned by Google. They're busy not being evil. Researchers at SE Ranking, a search engine optimization platform, found YouTube made up 4.43% of all AI overview citations. No hospital network, governmental health portal, medical association, or academic institution came close to that number. This matters because YouTube is not a medical publisher, the researchers wrote. It's a general-purpose video platform. Anyone can upload content there, e.g. board-certified physicians, hospital channels, but also wellness influencers, life coaches. There's still life coaches? And creators with no medical training at all. Unquote. Google told The Guardian that AI Overviews was designed to surface high-quality content from reputable sources, regardless of format, and a variety of credible health authorities and licensed medical professionals created content on YouTube. The study's findings were limited to German-language queries in Germany. The research comes after a Guardian investigation found people were being put at risk of harm by false and misleading health information in Google AI Overviews responses. In one case that experts said was dangerous and alarming, Google provided bogus information about crucial liver function tests that could have left people with serious liver disease wrongly thinking they were healthy. We discussed this last week. The company later removed AI Overviews for some, but not all, medical searches. The study chose Germany because its healthcare system is strictly regulated by a mix of German and EU directives, standards, and safety regulations. Quote, if AI systems rely heavily on non-medical or non-authoritative sources, even in such an environment, it suggests the issue may extend beyond any single country, they wrote. AI Overviews surfaced on more than 82% of health searches, they said, when they looked at which sources those overviews relied on most often for health-related answers. One result stood out immediately: YouTube. Speaking of things medical, ladies and gentlemen, the side effects of the week.
Evenity can increase risk of heart attack, stroke, or death from a heart problem. Tell your doctor if you have had a heart attack or stroke. Do not take Evenity if you have low blood calcium or are allergic to it, as serious events have occurred with Evenity. Signs include rash, hives, swelling of the face or throat, which may cause difficulty in swallowing or breathing, muscle spasms or cramps, numbness, or tingling. Tell your doctor about severe jawbone problems, as they have been reported with Evenity. Report hip, groin, or thigh pain. Unusual thigh bone fractures have occurred with Evenity.
That's too bad. I like swallowing and breathing. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of Musk love. Tesla's going to start charging $99 a month for supervised full self-driving, so-called. Elon Musk has told the faithful that the cost will rise as FSD's, full self-driving's, capabilities improve. Though he didn't say when it was going to get better. And in business news, the CEO of Ryanair, that's a low-fare British-Irish airline, the CEO dismissed Elon Musk's idea of buying the budget airline, shrugged off insults from the billionaire, war of words that erupted over installing Starlink systems on the aircraft. The spat between them has been escalating for days. The CEO said last week the airline had ruled out putting Musk's satellite Wi-Fi on Ryanair planes because the extra fuel drag from the system's antennas would be too costly. Responding to Musk's accusations that he was misinformed, the CEO, O'Leary, told an Irish radio station that, quote, I would pay no attention whatsoever to Elon Musk. He's an idiot, unquote. Musk fired back on X, calling O'Leary an utter idiot and an imbecile, unquote. So in the battle between invectives. It's idiot versus utter idiot. You be the judge. Sounds like Musk love. That concludes this week's edition of the show. Back next week, same time, same radio stations on your audio device of choice. A tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego, Hawaii, and Algiers Point desks. Thanks to Pam Halstead and to Thomas Walsh at WWNO for help with today's broadcast. The email address for this program, you'll find it at harryshearer.com. That's my online home, as is YouTube, where I have my own channel. And I'm writing oh so often now on Substack. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions. It's a production company, and the program originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy radio network. Go ahead and try to prove them wrong. So long, ladies and gentlemen, from the Crescent City.